Hi everyone, welcome back to the Pathfinder 101 podcast. This is Swanik Jigmar, and as you know, in this podcast series we try to examine different professions and career paths by talking to experts in those fields. If you're new to this podcast, I encourage you to listen to the introduction episode to get an idea for what this podcast is really about. Today's guest is Mr. Nicholas Casavecchia, founder of Old House Capital, a private commercial real estate investment firm based in Dallas. Mr. Casavecchia completed his bachelor's degree in the Handkammer School of Business at Baylor University, and prior to starting his own company, was the chief operating officer and partner at Frontier Equity, where he oversaw their industrial investment fund. He was also a pitcher for the Detroit Tigers from 2008 to 2010. Hi, Mr. Casavecchia. Thank you for your time. I really appreciate it. Let's jump right into the questions.
I'd like to take you back to your high school days when you were thinking about your college career, et cetera. And I'm assuming you're probably in a similar situation like me with a bit of confusion and uncertainty in choosing the right path. But after a few years, you have a successful career today. I'm sure you learned a lot during this journey. I'm just trying to garner that information. So when you were a high schooler, what did you want to become and what different factors influenced that decision, such as like parents or mentors?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say... probably the biggest influence were, people around St. Mark's, whether it was teachers or coaches, and then definitely people within the community, my friends' parents. So I think just the network, the environment at St. Mark's, definitely cultivates, certain people that are like-minded to some degree, but, there's a good network within there that kind of helps you get educated on what people are doing, what their quality of life is, what their parents do for a living, how they make money. And I'd say that was definitely a, a factor for me when I was, between the ages of, maybe 15 to 18, of knowing, hey, like, I want to live the life that they live, or I want to be able to, for my kids to go to St. Mark's, to travel the way they travel, whatever it may be, that community definitely played a role in that for me.
And what were the different factors that influenced your particular decision for a major and for the actual college itself that you studied at?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say I was probably, from my dad, who was more of a finance accounting background, probably pretty early on knew I wanted to be in business, not necessarily knowing, where in business, but so I'd say, my family and what my dad did was definitely there. But numbers were always a strength for me. So, through school, wanting to take classes that involve, math primarily, with the intent of business or finance or accounting, something along those lines was where I felt, I had a stronger skill set. And then, from there, it became more of, okay, if I want to be in business, there's so many different paths to go down. It kind of turned probably more to quality of life. And, do I want to work for a big corporation and be kind of siloed and more of an executor? Or, do I want to be a business owner? Do I want to be an entrepreneur? Where can finance and numbers take you from there? Maybe not so much in high school, but probably later on, probably put more of an emphasis on relationships and networking, and within business, where is that valued? And real estate was definitely one of those, financial planning was one of those for me, where I kind of narrowed those down, probably around early 20s, of where I felt numbers was going to be a part of it, but then also the relationship side was going to be a factor as well. Okay. Did that answer your question?
Yeah. And also like a second part to that question, like the particular college that you chose to go to, there's so many different options when talking about colleges. What made you choose that in particular?
Yeah. I mean, I was looking definitely for a business school, relative to anywhere I was looking. Now, my background was a little bit different in the sense that I was a baseball player. So baseball was driving a little bit of my decision making of the schools. But I'd say when it came down to maybe a subset of 5 to 10 colleges that I thought I had an opportunity to potentially play baseball at, then it kind of shifted gears over to the business side. And, what was that academic, plan going to look like for me while also playing baseball? So it was mainly around the business school.
Did you have any doubts or hesitation at any points during that journey, and how did you overcome them?
Oh man, a ton of doubts. Still have doubts. Is this relative to high school time frame, work? At what period?
Any point.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say with anything, and definitely for me, you know, starting off. So I started a little bit later than most because I went and played baseball a little bit after college. So entering the work world at 25, picking real estate finance in particular, you know, I think there was definitely a lot of doubts of like, is real estate even the industry I want to be in, relative to real estate, what I was doing on the finance side or the brokerage side, you know, is that really the path I wanted? And, you know, definitely went back and forth. But I think probably in my early to mid 20s, really started working on not just near-term goals, but some long-term goals, and not trying to be too specific on the long-term, because I think that's where people put a lot of pressure on themselves of like, oh man, I have to make a decision for the rest of my life. But it was some high level stuff of, you know, one big one for me was I wanted to own buildings. I want to be off on my own. I want to own buildings. Like that was a goal of mine. And I wrote it down on a piece of notepad and I had it right on my computer every single day. So even though I was an analyst kind of first job, you know, doing monotonous stuff, I think just seeing the bigger picture, seeing that goal every single day, you know, really helped me power through. It helped me grind. It helped me stay a little bit later at night. It helped me focus on the process and not get discouraged about some of the monotonous things or some of the tough things that are going to hit you day to day of just remembering, hey, long term, this is what I want. This is where I'm going. And there's no easy path to get there. So you have to go through, you know, some of the stuff that you might not choose to do.
And given your current exposure to various fields, would you do anything differently if you could go back in time, like choose a completely different career or anything like that?
Really, no. I mean, honestly, you know, I set out a little over 10 years ago to, like I said, own buildings and be on my own. And I was fortunate enough to do that at an accelerated pace and, you know, open the doors of my company a little less than 3 years ago. So I'd say what I set out to do, it happened. And each day I'm just reminded how blessed I am and fortunate to be doing what I want to do, where work is really not work. It's really just a lifestyle. And this is my passion. So I fortunately and unfortunately don't have any regrets on that.
So what are some skills or habits that you find really useful in your job right now? And also, what are some skills or habits that you wish you had developed at some earlier point in your life?
That's a good question. I mean, probably one of the biggest ones that I learned early on was work ethic, and whether that was through sports or professionally, was really just a relentless work ethic where I was never the most talented on the baseball field, not the smartest guy by any means. If you saw my grades at St. Mark's or my SAT scores, you'd be like, oh my gosh, like, how's this guy doing what he's doing? So it was definitely a work ethic kind of for me. I just always assumed I had to work a lot harder than everyone else, and it was going to be very painful in doing so. And that was the same in my baseball career. So it was nice to be able to take really an approach of my whole life of playing baseball till playing professionally till I was 24 years old, and then flipping over to the business world and applying the same thing, the same mentality, which is really why I'm so fortunate that I chose the career that I did that rewards that type of behavior or that type of a skill set. You know, besides that, when it comes to kind of skills, you know, some of the basic stuff, just being organized, time management, you know, are definitely critical to what I do and what I had to do in my professional career. But the relationship side, the network side, kind of looking back to the St. Mark's is probably where I wish I spent a little bit more time. It's really never too early to start building that network, building the people, your peers, building your mentors, learning from them. I'd say if I did that, it was probably a little too shallow. Like, I wish I dug a little bit deeper in that and really built some good relationships at that stage. It's never too early to do that. And then your brand too, it's never too early to start developing that. You know, what you're doing right now, you know, just being on this call, I mean, you're starting to build your brand. You know, you're passionate, you're interested, you want to make the right decisions. Like, people notice that stuff. And, you know, even when you're in middle school, high school, through college, you're always building your brand, your personal brand. And I think that's something that I think I did probably an okay job at, but would have definitely, I didn't realize it at the time. It's like, oh, I'm just a kid. Like, I'm going to make some mistakes. Like, I don't have to worry about that until I get older. But it's a huge opportunity to start building that brand at a very early age.
Other than studies in college and beyond, how did you prepare yourself to take on the world in terms of, this could be in terms of like internships or mentors or stuff like that?
I think really just paying attention to people who were, that at least I thought or were in fact, you know, pretty successful. Paying attention to their behaviors and how they did things, from, you know, how they operated within their household to, you know, in social scenes. So I think, you know, picking the mentors or picking the people that you look at and you say, man, that's, you know, that's something that I admire. That's something that I'm striving to be, you know, looking deeper than just, oh, it's because he has this job and he's making this money. I think a lot of people want to go there, but there's a lot more to, you know, being a successful person or taking on the world, as you're saying, of, you know, how are they, you know, socially, how are they maybe religiously, how are they as a parent, as a leader, as a follower, you know, really picking the mentors. And, you know, I'd say it's probably more quality than quantity, you know, finding a couple really good mentors and really diving in, you know, meeting with them once a quarter for coffee and just picking their brain across all spectrums. That's kind of how I address that one.
What are some of the best decisions you've made in your career, and what are some regrets you have or mistakes that you would try to avoid?
I mean, picking the mentors were definitely, I was very, I'd say, fortunate in a lot of senses, really starting early. I was fortunate enough to have someone who was in the NBA live on my street when I was living in Plano and going to St. Mark's. And he was a huge mentor to me all through, you know, my athletic career for sure. So I think some of it's a little bit of fortune, but also just being open to, you know, welcoming, you know, the right mentors. You know, I think that when I think about at that stage on through college and then professionally, just have some really, really good ones. Still some of the best guys, I think, in the real estate world here in Dallas, which is a pretty big world. I feel like I have the best, and I could text them right now with something on my mind. So I think that's pretty critical. And I think that kind of gets back to what we talked about networking and your brand, and never, it's never too early to start working on that. I think I got fortunate that, you know, even at later times, or I was able to develop those relationships. And I think I always took that quality over quantity approach. I was never good at going to like the big networking events. You know, if I did, it was like find one person and I would just sit there and talk to them for like an hour, 2 hours, and then go get lunch with them a couple weeks later. Part of it was just how I am socially, but I think it worked to my benefit where it was more of a quality over quantity type approach. Man, I really don't have too many regrets. I feel very fortunate. You know, I probably could have just studied a little bit more, worked harder at school. As I told you, my grades were not very, good. And I just didn't take it as serious as I probably should have, or really focused on what mattered. I'd say looking back and now being at St. Mark's, going back there quite a bit, I wish I had better relationships with like the teachers and worked with, devoted more time to that. Even coaches too. I just feel like I a lot of times I was going through the motions and you get kind of stuck in the grind, and St. Mark's was super challenging for me. I wish I probably just invested more in those relationships with people around campus. Now I feel like I'm trying to catch up and do it, and been fortunate to serve on the alumni board and be around campus and be around students. And I wish at the time I did that more. I wish I leaned on some of the, I don't even know if we had the kind of network that we do now with the mentoring. But I wish I leaned on that a little bit more when I was there.
And an extension question for networking.
Yeah.
Like quality over quantity is one of the aspects that you look at. What are some other qualities or traits that you look for?
I think there's some people that are just very good at networking because they're fun and people gravitate towards them. You know, I felt like I had to work at that a little bit more than some other people. And I think going quality over quantity was really probably more of a defensive mechanism, but I could have just, if I deem myself as somewhat antisocial, I could have just bailed. I could have just showed up and left, but I knew I was trying to get, you know, something out of it. And even if I show up to a place with 100 people, you know, if I could get to know one person, you know, really well, you never know where that's going to go or where that's going to take you. So, you know, I do think that was important for me because of just who I am as a person. If you are like me or trying to find excuses to get out of those things, like push yourself, you know, to be uncomfortable and go. That's probably another, you know, thing, you know, really throughout my whole life is, you know, you got to be comfortable being uncomfortable and you just never know where, you know, what's going to happen. But I like to talk myself out of a lot of things. And sometimes I just need a kick in the butt or for my wife or like, hey, look, you just got to go. You got to do it. You never know. And sometimes those end up being the best networking opportunities when I force myself to do it.
We're going to shift gears a little bit to understand a little bit more about your job. So what does a typical day or week look like for you?
What I primarily do, I buy office and industrial properties and I operate them. So I oversee all the operations of any asset that I own, and from overseeing the leasing team to the managing team. But probably the majority of my time is on the front end, is finding the opportunities and putting those deals together, putting the money together, doing the due diligence on the building. So my day-to-day is pretty sporadic. If I have a deal that I'm under contract to buy, those days are typically focused on that acquisition and taking up, it's, you know, pretty much a full-time job putting that deal together. You typically have 30 to 60 days to get that deal closed. And, you know, prior to getting it under contract, if I don't have anything, I'm looking. So I'm talking to the brokers, I'm driving markets. So I'm on the very offensive, you know, I'm looking for pursuits and I'm submitting offers. I'm doing a lot of underwriting, working on the numbers and the due diligence to see if there's something I want to buy. Once I kind of get past that and it's operation, it's, you know, I have a couple teams at every asset that do a lot of the day-to-day. So just making sure, staying on the business plan, making major decisions, and just really trying to extract the value that I saw on the front end during ownership, and then ultimately selling it for hopefully more than I bought it for, which is also a whole other process. So my day-to-day is a little unique because I have to do everything. I have to wear all types of hats, doing what I do and just being a one-man company. But I'd say the majority of it is usually on the pursuit side and trying to find the next opportunity.
So what do you like the most and least about your work?
The most, probably I don't have a boss. I didn't think I'd probably set out to have that. I knew I wanted to do it on my own and own buildings, but now I always have people I'm reporting to. I'm reporting to investors, lenders, but you know, being able to kind of control my day-to-day and not having to answer to somebody is something that I enjoy. It allows a certain lifestyle, life-work balance, time with my family that I really, really enjoy with what I'm doing. What do I not like? I don't like things that are out of my control, and there's a lot right now with the market and you know, where opportunities are and how hard they are to find. So I think the uncertainty of the market, the competitiveness of it, and you know, how that all correlates to being on your own and having your own company, you know, can keep you up a little bit of, you know, where's the next opportunity? Is it, do I need to focus on something completely different from a asset class perspective? You know, those are the things that I think I arm wrestle with. And part of the reason I need mentors, because if I am a one-man show on the real estate side, like what I'm doing, I almost need like a board. I need a sounding board for sure of, you know, what are other people seeing? Where are they finding opportunities? That kind of helps me, you know, power through times of uncertainty.
So you're talking about work-life balance. What's your take on that concept? Do you think it's like something really important to maintain at all times, or do you think it can be like sacrificed early on in your career and then and develop later on?
I think it's super critical. You know, it could be kind of looked at a lot different. I'd say my approach to it was, you know, if I'm going to write that goal on my computer, like I did, if I want to own buildings, I knew there was no easy path to it. It's, you know, maybe for a very small population, there's an easier path if their dad owns buildings or something of that nature. But I knew it was going to be really hard for me to get there. So it was definitely, I'm willing to grind and put in the work and put in crazy hours and just put my head down and just bust it. And if I want to get there at an accelerated timeline, I knew I had to get a lot of reps. It wasn't, oh, you're in the business for 20 years, then you could go do it. It was more of, are you ready to do it? And how can you get ready? And for me, it was reps. How many deals can I work on? How many different people can I meet through those transactions? And it was definitely a quality over quantity again, where it was, if we're going to go buy a building, I want to do everything. And I wanted to understand the ins and outs of every single aspect of the front end, putting it all together, buying it, the execution, what I call asset or portfolio management, overseeing the operations, and then selling it for hopefully more than you bought it for. Well, I wanted to see full cycle transactions, and I want to know every component of it. I didn't necessarily say I want to do 100 transactions, but I want to do, you know, probably somewhere between 5 to 20 that I knew just intimately. And that's how I got to that path, or how I got to where I am. I'm going off on a tangent. I'd say for a while it was do as much as I can and hopefully lead to a life work balance that, you know, ultimately I'm striving for. So it's kind of gets back to a little bit about that goal, whatever that high level one is. If life work balance is super important for you or for someone else within whatever industry you're thinking, is there a path to get to that point? And real estate, that path was pretty clear to me because I knew so many people that were out there doing it and got to know them. If I had chosen a different path, like my dad, who was an executive at PepsiCo on the accounting side, well, he had a path and it was promotions and stock and this, that, or the other. It was a lot financial, but there was really never that, and get to a certain point where he could maybe retire and get this life work balance. That was a path that I pretty early on determined that's not for me. I want to get to that sooner. And the end goal was a lot, it was worth of the grind. And I didn't want to just be in a place where it's just like step up, step up, step up. The path was clear. There was no ceiling for what I wanted to do. And that was, you know, why I was probably as passionate and could grind as much as I did, knowing that that was a, you know, the potential was worth the hard work.
So this next question is sort of like trifold. So what are some generic skills like communication or people management, some business skills, and some technical or like industry specific skills that are required to succeed in your profession? So like, in other words, what is like, how do you define success in your field?
I mean, real estate's definitely a relationship side business or type of business. So you know, being likable, doing the right thing over and over. You know, I tell my kids all the time, but it applies to the business, but the golden rule of just treating people how you want to be treated. And sometimes it's hard in the business world or in real estate to commit to that long-term strategy. But I found that if you do commit to it, you always do the right thing. You always go the extra mile. Everything that you produce work-wise, communication, it's to the highest level of integrity and quality. It pays off. It is, once again, you're building your brand of how you write an email, how you conduct yourself at a bar or a sporting event, where whatever, you know, if you take that approach, and it came relatively natural to me, you could see, you know, the compounding benefit of it. And real estate, I think, really does reward that behavior. I can't speak to some of the other industries, but real estate for sure, it goes a long way. Comes with good communication, likability, always doing the right thing. I mean, I think that's probably generic to, I think, to a lot of industries, but then also for sure. I mean, I would have to say another, even at a big corporate company where, you know, if you're always doing the right thing, going the extra mile, taking care of the people below you, above you, you know, you're probably going to be at the top of the list for the next promotion, you know, whatever it may be.
In terms of like monetary compensation, obviously, since you work for yourself, there's no like boss above you, that range can be on a wide scale. So how does this compare like in general to other professions without like going into specifics?
I'd say real estate was probably on the lower end from a guaranteed kind of comp, from like a salary bonus. A lot of it was either commission-based or incentive-based type comp. You know, pretty much the better you did, the more you got paid. And if you find the right places, more of a meritocracy, you know, they didn't care how long you've been there. It was all about how good was your work or how much value you added. So I definitely focused on those positions as I made my moves to get to where I am. Most of the time when I made a move, it went backwards in guaranteed comp, but it was betting on myself to what the upside could be and the structure of that upside. And no different than when I went off on my own. I obviously went to a $0 salary and had to pay for a lot of expenses, but the upside potential was dramatically higher than when I was working for someone else. So I'd say in other industries, there's probably better financial packages. Early on though, and I advise this to a lot of people getting in real estate or anywhere, don't make a decision based on economics. Now, economics are going to be, they have to be a factor, but I put those very, very low relative to everything else. It was the opportunity, what I was going to learn, who was going to be my mentors, what my day-to-day was going to be like versus the dollar sign. And when you're younger, it's a lot easier to focus on that versus when you got a family, you got other people to support. So financially, it was always, can I cover my expenses? Can I get by? Do I have the opportunity to make a lot more based on how successful I am? But at the end of the day, I wanted the education. And if someone's going to pay me to get educated, that's awesome.
You were talking earlier about how real estate was like sort of one of your passions that you pursued to this stage. So do you consider passion to be like very important to have a successful career? Or is it something that sort of develops once you invest yourself into something?
I think it develops. You know, I think there's probably some things on the front end. You know, if you're taking a job just purely on the money and you just have no interest in a long-term, from a long-term perspective, but it's all just, oh, I can make this money and then I could go do what I want. I would probably encourage, if there's something that you want to do, you know, if you had $10 million in the bank account, what are you going to go do? Now, if you're going to say you're going to go play Xbox all day, like that ain't going to work. But, you know, if you knew if someone put $10 million in your bank account tomorrow, what you would go do, well, that's probably pretty close to your answer. And I would challenge somebody of how you're going to get there without just having the 10 million in your bank account. Is there a path to get to what really does get you going? And I would say it's harder in, you know, your late teens, early 20s to do it, but you definitely should start thinking about it. Because I think if I was 18 years old and someone asked that, I'd be like, oh, I want to work for the Texas Rangers, you know, be in their back office. So I do think I think your 20s, early to late 20s is where you're kind of developing that. That's where you're working with your network. Even though when you have a job, you can't stop the network and getting to know, seeing what all your classmates are doing, you know, what their day in and day out is. Like for a while, I thought I wanted to get in oil and gas. I was like, oh man, my buddy's in oil and gas. That just seems awesome. But it just took getting to know and understanding other industries a lot more to be like, okay, well, actually, I do love real estate. There is a path within real estate. And that's, I think, where the critical steps are, is later. Putting that pressure in high school and college is way too much pressure. And a lot of people that I grew up with at the start, it was just get a job. Like I want to move back to Dallas. I want to pick your market. I just need a job. I want to be able to make enough money to get an apartment and go out on the town on the weekends. And that's fine. You know, I think that's where a lot of people start. But I think when you start working, then it needs a switch. All right, what am I passionate about? It's nice to get paid and be in the door somewhere, get some relevant experience, and then start thinking about those. But it's too hard at 18 to 22 years old to make those calls.
How has the real estate profession changed during the last decade, especially with like the advent of lots of technology in terms of like maybe client relations or something like that, since like, especially with COVID, like more Zoom and less like in-person stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say the industry before COVID changed quite a bit in terms of how much money has been pumped into the real estate world. It's just become a extremely popular asset class for the big institutions. And then, you know, you throw a COVID in there. I think technology was already, you know, getting there as well. Not necessarily just the Zoom side of it. I'd say that's probably more of a COVID related and directly impacts the office world and some of the hospitality. But prior to that, the distribution, the technology within the warehousing, the Amazons of the world, e-commerce in general was already heading that way. COVID, I think, accelerated it pretty dramatically of, you know, how many users were going to go on and order online because they were forced to, and technology had to ramp up, and, you know, we're still seeing the issues with that with supply chains. The office world is an interesting one. I think, you know, being able to work from home, work with technology is a benefit to the world, to benefit to the life-work balance for a lot of people that don't have the freedom like I do to, you know, go to work whenever I want or work from wherever I want. So I'm happy for, you know, really the employees to have that. You know, the issue I see is that, you know, you got to be around people, you got to be around your mentors. You know, it could slow the productivity, you know, within certain jobs if people are going to work from home and the companies are forced to allow it because they're trying to compete for the best talent. If the best talent wants to work from home, they got to accommodate because they're not going to sacrifice talent. But, you know, you got to get in the office. And that's where, you know, I don't think I for sure am not starting my company at 33 years old. If I wasn't in the office, and just, you don't realize how much you absorb hearing other people just by pure osmosis, but, you know, just being around and hearing discussions, hearing a conversation, being pulled into a meeting that you never would be invited to, that doesn't happen unless you're there. And that's where it's critical in my job and in a lot of industries that I, of buddies that I have, you got to be around. You just never know when the CEO comes by and says, hey, my lunch just, you know, so you want to go grab lunch with me real quick. Like that's a unbelievable opportunity to get to know a CEO of wherever you're at. It doesn't happen if you're sitting at home in your pajamas.
Do you have any sort of final comments or general advice for high schoolers or even people in college that are trying to think about what career they want to pursue in their future?
I'm just like blown away that you're, you know, even interested in talking to me, spending time on it. I think that's very encouraging for me to the next generation that comes in, and something I definitely was not doing. So I think this in itself is a step, a huge step in the right direction, because everyone's so willing to help.
Thank you for taking time to address these questions.
All right, man. Have a good one.
Thank you, Mr. Casavecchia, for the valuable advice and for your time. I definitely learned a lot from this interview. And thanks to everyone who's listening for choosing to spend your valuable time with this podcast. I hope you found this useful. To get notified about future episodes, please subscribe or follow Pathfinder 101 on Twitter, Instagram, or LinkedIn. Also, please visit pathfinder101.com for more content. If the blog or podcast added some value to you, please like and share with your friends and colleagues. Thanks, and have a great day.